The U.S. Justice Department settled its suit that was holding up the union of U.S. Airways and North Texas-based American Airlines. U.S. Airways CEO Doug Parker says he couldn't be happier.
By putting these two airlines together, we can put two networks together and create an even stronger one that will allow more people to fly to more places and provide more consumer value, doing so while still maintaining service to the communities we serve, maintaining hubs that we've always planned to maintain.
And says Parker, that's good news for consumers. They'll have more destinations than ever before. But aviation expert Denny Kelly says passengers will also pay more for the privilege.
You're going to see regular fares go up, and they may not go up instantly as soon as they merge, but they are going to go up. If you take, you know, a basic freshman economics course, the first thing they tell you is less competition, higher price. And there's going to be less competition.
The combined airline, which will keep the name American, will become the world's largest carrier. It will reach 56 countries and will still be based in Fort Worth. The Justice Department deal requires American to sell some slots and gates to low-cost carriers. That means American will lose gates at Dallas Love Field, Reagan National in Washington, D.C., and airports in Boston, Chicago, L.A., and Miami. The merger's supposed to go through next month. Now to another international story with a big impact in North Texas. At least 30,000 Filipinos live in Dallas-Fort Worth, according to the latest census. And after last week's typhoon, many are still trying to track down family members. Reporter Dwali Sakautau shares one daughter's story.
Crystal Honey Abelis hasn't slept for nearly a week. Her mom, two sisters, and a brother, plus 20 immediate relatives, are unaccounted for in Tanawan, a town next to the city of Tacloban, one of the hardest hit by Typhoon Haiyan.
I went through a whole lot of storms with them, but nothing has been as worse as this.
At first, the Bedford resident, who was born on a U.S. Air Force base in the Philippines, watched news nonstop. Then she reached out on Facebook asking for help finding her family. She even friended the governor of her hometown in Tanawan.
They had a little bit of news from my town, and all they can show me is dead people, which is like they have 3,000 people, and the water was 10 feet high, and most houses over there are not even like maybe 12 feet high.
Abelis, a dialysis technician, says she just wants to know that her family is safe.
It's killing me just because I want to be able to help them. All I want is to hear that they, you know, to hear their voice that they are all okay, especially the little kids.
At Umpress Road United Methodist Church in Dallas, Pastor Levy LaGuardia says many in his mostly Filipino-American congregation have family members in Tacloban and neighboring provinces.
The modus people are just hurting in pain and crying and really, you know, knowing nothing from their families in the Philippines is just so devastating for them.
The Ross Kahn Foundation, a nonprofit group based in North Dallas, has people on the islands of Luzon, Cebu, and Visayas. Director Carol Smith says they have helped Filipinos cope with past storms, and from experience, they'll need food and water first, then sanitary shelters and medical supplies next.
They will be needing a lot of medicines, especially after the typhoon. There'll be lots of illnesses going around. So these medicines are very needed, you know, on these several areas.
Smith says her group is accepting donations, canned foods, and they have a fundraiser planned in December.
The only thing that we can do is send in as much as we can over there. And when another calamity hits, at least they have supplies ready to give out.
The Philippines is now bracing for another storm. For KERA News, I'm Dwali Sakautau.
Without revenue margins and bottom lines as a guide, how do you measure success in the nonprofit arts world? The National Center for Arts Research at SMU is taking a stab at it, using the largest arts database in the country. KERA's Jerome Weeks take a look at the center's inaugural report, just released this evening.
One up for you here.
Zani Voss is at her computer in her SMU office. Voss is a professor of arts management, and she directs NCAR, the National Center for Arts Research. NCAR aims to determine what constitutes success for an arts group, and can it be duplicated. Businesses have yardsticks to measure their performance, profits, stock prices. But what does high performance mean for a nonprofit arts group? a larger budget, a shiny big building. Voss pulls up data on two different art museums. The smaller one has an annual budget of $1 million. The bigger one is 40 times that size, yet NCAR scores them about the same.
So you would think, well, why do these two organizations have about the same score? And when you take everything else into account, you start seeing that high performance would really mean that the big one over here and spending this much should be getting a whole lot more attendance.
The smaller museum is simply more efficient. It draws 200,000 people per year. The big museum draws more than twice that. But remember, the big museum has 40 times the budget, so it's getting a disappointing bang for its bucks. What's the smaller museum's secret? That's what NCAR's figuring out. It's compiled 5 years of data from such sources as the National Endowment for the Arts and the Cultural Data Project. NCAR's database includes more than 55,000 cultural groups in 44,000 zip codes. The study tries to factor out size and wealth, public funding and community demographics, to learn things like how many volunteers a group has, how many world premieres does it present, what effects do these have. There's no single magic answer, but there's a term for what can make a difference.
We all know as organizations, those that have built stronger relationships with their communities, those that have a stronger reputation, you know, all of those intangibles come back to the issue of leadership. There are some qualities that leaders are able to deploy that draw individuals and artists to that organization.
NCAR wants to quantify what an inspiring artistic or managerial leader does, what factors help or hurt cultural performance. Some of the study's conclusions are no-brainers. If you live in a town with big corporations and lots of hotels, you probably have a better arts climate. Perhaps your kids enjoy taking part in, say, a children's theater program. Organizations with children's programs generally do better than those without. But other conclusions seem counterintuitive. If you make more than $200,000 per year, you donate more money to arts groups, but you attend less often, perhaps because you have a demanding job. And we've all heard about how opera, symphony, and theater audiences are aging, but NCAR found the younger end of the arts audience is actually growing.
When we think of arts and culture, we have a tendency to immediately go to the traditional art forms, to think about opera, symphony, instead of thinking about the broader spectrum of nature and science museums. You've got community-based organizations and arts education.
After all, opera-goers make up only 2% of the entire art market, so their numbers are easily offset by these other groups. The NCAR finding doesn't provide much consolation to opera companies, but it does suggest that younger audiences are not entirely lost to video games. Ultimately, NCAR's aim is to let arts groups go online and compare their performance with their peers, and to learn how to improve that performance.
I used to run professional theater companies. My heart is in the art. So the numbers, not for the numbers' sake, but because there'll be more resources and more stable organizations to support artists and the creation of great art.
Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
In a few days, the full National Center for Arts Research study will be online at smu.edu/artsresearch. The interactive version is planned to launch next summer. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. Marketplace is next.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Novo Nordisk, supporting American Diabetes Month in November. More on Twitter at #LaceUp4Diabetes. From America's Natural Gas, learn how Los Angeles reduced emissions for its entire bus fleet by switching to natural gas. thinkaboutit.org. And from Al Jazeera America, with live news at 8 and 11 p.m. Eastern, followed by America Tonight. Local listings at aljazeera.com. This is NPR.
The Preservation
Steve
Hall
Davis
Jazz
is
Band
ready.
Brings swing, the language of New Orleans, as Mardi Gras and Christmas come together at the Meyerson. The Preservation Hall Jazz Band swing in the holidays with the classic sound of New Orleans jazz and a Bourbon Street beat. Tickets are available online at DallasSymphony.com or by phone at 214-692-0203. Thursday, December 12th, one performance at the Meyerson. Preservation Hall Jazz Band's Creole Christmas. Support for KERA comes from you, our members, and from Fisher & Phillips, LLP, a national labor and employment law firm representing employers in Dallas, across Texas, and the nation. More about partner Mike Royal and Fisher & Phillips online at laborlawyers.com. Cumberland Trust, helping families to provide, preserve, and protect their wealth and wishes. Cumberland Trust, building relationships with financial advisors. Details at cumberlandtrust.com.
Marketplace is supported by Reputation.com, defining how businesses and professionals measure and manage online reviews and search results. Learn more at 1-800-REPUTATION. Produced in association with the